This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Monday, February 12th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, one of the driving forces behind the recent spate of tech layoffs could be artificial intelligence. We'll find out why corporate leaders are saying certain office jobs may never return, and what kinds of roles AI may be coming for next, from WSJ workplace reporter Ray Smith. And then, San Francisco has gotten a bad rap since the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, some of the city's powerful tech executives say they want to reverse the doom loop narrative. We'll hear how Silicon Valley leaders are getting involved in local politics and whether or not it's working, from WSJ tech reporter Preetika Rana. But first, the idea that technology is replacing us in our jobs isn't new. But now, that technology is generative AI, and it's starting to threaten white-collar and managerial jobs. In the most recent round of layoffs at companies like Google and UPS, jobs up and down the corporate food chain have been cut. WSJ workplace reporter Ray Smith is here to tell us more. Ray, we know managerial jobs are at risk. What are some of the fields that are affected?
Besides managers, we're seeing jobs, for instance, in fields like engineering, people who rely on inputting data or even to some extent coding. We're also seeing in white collar professions like legal services, for instance, not like a lawyer is going to be replaced by AI, but some of the legal work that's done before it gets into a lawyer's hands. Those are also roles that are being transformed by AI. I talked with one company who told me in their finance department, they have some professionals who used to sort of prepare certain reports manually. So it required like repetitive copying and pasting, building spreadsheets and updates with constant emails to finally get something in a couple of days or even weeks sometimes. But now they developed a dashboard that allows colleagues to quickly access the latest sales information.
What are some of the companies that have made job cuts due to automation this year?
The companies won't outright say that that's why they're laying people off. So one of the things that's happening is when companies like Google, Duolingo, even UPS recently, when they announce layoffs, they cite the business conditions, but also they talk about AI in the context of either AI is replacing some of these jobs or we are diverting more resources to AI or departments that will use AI, and that means we're going to be losing some people.
Why are the kinds of jobs affected now primarily white-collar jobs? What's changed?
Advancements in technology is one thing, but also companies are really figuring out ways to be more efficient and more productive. And one of the things that's happened is there's almost like a gold rush in terms of companies that are looking at how can we do more with less? How can we use AI to our benefit? And so a lot of it is a function of just advancements in technology, but also there's so much interest from companies in this technology and how it's going to help their bottom line. If you think about it, white-collar talent is pretty expensive in terms of their salaries and their benefits and their perks. And so if there's a way to be more efficient and cost-cut, if you will, that's also driving a lot of this move towards white-collar work. So it was only a matter of time.
That was our reporter, Ray Smith. Coming up, could Silicon Valley tech executives decide who becomes the next mayor of San Francisco? That's after the break.
The number of businesses which have upgraded to the number one cloud financial system, NetSuite by Oracle. 25. NetSuite just turned 25. That's 25 years of helping businesses streamline their finances and reduce cost. 1. Because your unique business deserves a customized solution, and that's NetSuite. Learn more when you download NetSuite's popular Key Performance Indicators Checklist, absolutely free at netsuite.com/wallstreet. That's netsuite.com/wallstreet.
For years, the tech industry has influenced the city of San Francisco, but it has largely stayed out of politics. Now, that's starting to change. Silicon Valley investors and executives are hosting fundraising events for local candidates, pouring money into city ballot initiatives, and using their influence to sway public opinion. And in an election year like this one, this could have a big impact on the city. Here's WSJ technology reporter Preetika Rana with more. Preetika, why are Silicon Valley leaders getting into San Francisco politics?
San Francisco's problems got so much worse during the pandemic. Issues like theft and car break-ins and robberies really skyrocketed, and they've stayed at that elevated level since. For the last decade, I would say Silicon Valley really shied away from local politics. We are seeing that shift after the pandemic. A lot of tech millionaires are now pouring their time and effort into backing local candidates who are running for elections later this year. They're pouring their money into city ballot initiatives. Before, you had them campaigning for issues that squarely served their own interests. For example, let's rewrite the city's tax code. Now that conversation has shifted to, what are we teaching our kids in school? Why is our city so soft on drug abuse? Why is there so much crime out in the streets?
Yeah, who are some of these tech executives getting involved in politics? And what causes do they have in common?
One of the most prominent people who really, he just came out of the woodwork, is Gary Tan. Now, Gary Tan is the CEO of Y Combinator. That is the Silicon Valley startup accelerator that has funded companies like Airbnb, DoorDash, Dropbox. A few other people who are active are Pantheon CEO Zach Rosen. He has his own advocacy group now. Another one is the former chairman of Sequoia Capital, Michael Moritz. And when I spoke with them, they all banded on three primary issues. One is public safety. Number two is public education. They want their children to be at par with not just the rest of the nation, but the rest of the world. Number three is, surprisingly, housing. They're saying, let's build more affordable housing units. The reason for this whole affordable housing crisis, of course, tech gets blamed a lot, but what they have to say is, don't attack the golden goose.
Okay, so they're taking on all these issues, they're spending their money. Are their efforts succeeding?
I was pretty surprised at how successful they have been. And remember, these are people with not just the connections in both the business and political world, but also they have a lot of public sway. So if Gary Tan tweets something, he has over 400,000 followers, not just in Silicon Valley, but across the country. So there was one example of a housing ballot that Zach Rosen, who is the CEO of Pantheon, put up in 2022. That housing ballot failed in San Francisco, but what they did was they successfully managed to lobby for that policy and pushed it through the California state legislature. And now that policy goes into effect in San Francisco next month. So you're really seeing how much sway these groups can hold, both politically and also in the public light.
What do city officials say about tech executives' growing involvement in politics?
The answer is different based on who you ask. Now, tech leaders are fighting the progressives. They say they're the ones who are too soft on crime, too woke on education. What tech leaders actually want is a more moderate slate of Democratic candidates. Now, if you ask the moderate Democrats, and our mayor, London Breed, is one of them, she welcomes tech's participation. She has the backing of the tech industry. Most tech leaders tend to like her. So she would say it's a good thing that some of the city's wealthiest residents are getting involved in this way. Now, if you ask some progressive Democrats, and I spoke to one of them, Dean Preston, he's on the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco. He says this is really a sort of scheme to hold even more political power. Already, tech has an outsized presence in San Francisco. This is just a way to game the system for their own economic interests. He was one of the people who pushed for higher taxes on expensive property sales during the pandemic. He said, of course, these wealthy tech leaders didn't like that, so I'm on their hit list now. So if you ask the progressive Democrats, they say, well, we really are the people who think about the poor people. We really are grassroots. Don't listen to these tech millionaires. You know, they speak from a position of privilege and they're really trying to game the system for their own benefit while projecting it to the public as though we're working in public interest.
Keeping in mind that this is an election year, why do these shifting dynamics matter now?
It matters now because this year is really the year that we can change the composition of who is sitting on what board, what committee, who is even in a position of power to govern the city. And that composition gets to decide a lot. Right now, you have 11 members on San Francisco's Board of Supervisors, and they're really the body that decide the city's budget and they vote on policy proposals. Half of them are up for re-election in November. And really, you have investors that are calling their startup founders that are hosting these parties. Gary Tan had a party for startup founders in his home. And the startup founders went there to learn about politics and which candidates the tech industry is supporting and which candidates they should be voting for.
That was our reporter, Preetika Rana. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang, with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.